The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, June 20th. What to know today about a meeting between China and North Korea, and why YouTube could be making some major changes. Plus, a new talking Monopoly game, and the re-release of one of the most popular movies of all time. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview, all about the presidential primary debates. And by the way, if you want more on that, you can always check out our friends over at the Primary Ride Home podcast as a complement to this show. They focus only on news from the campaign trail. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. All right, we start today with a couple of stories that are still developing as of early this morning. First, the AP reports Iran is at least claiming it shot down a U.S. drone, saying that drone was in Iranian airspace. At this point, the U.S. military is not commenting, other than one spokesman saying a drone was never in that area. Remember, this is happening as tensions are already rising between the two countries. Just last week, the U.S. accused Iran of attacking two oil tankers, even as Iran says it was not involved. Stay tuned for more details on this one. Also, China's president arrived in North Korea, the first Chinese state visit in more than a decade. China is vital to North Korea and is its main trading partner. But the BBC reports the two will likely be talking about the United States, since they both have separate disputes going on with the U.S., North Korea over nuclear weapons, and China over trade. This comes a week before President Trump plans to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping at the G20 summit next week. It's one of the biggest environmental regulatory rollbacks from the Trump administration. The Washington Post reports the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, passed a new rule this week that eases restrictions on coal-fired power plants. It essentially gets rid of and replaces the regulations passed during the Obama administration that were meant to fight climate change. Now, under the new rule, states will have more say about whether they require power plants to cut down on emissions. It's basically the opposite of the rule before, which required states to meet certain targets on emissions cutbacks. Miners and the lawmakers who represent them celebrated. The EPA chief said it will likely lead to more coal plants opening and allow the current ones to stay in business. But scientists continue to warn that the world must cut these types of emissions to stop global warming. And now environmental groups and some state officials, like in New York, say they'll be challenging that new rule in court. No change to interest rates, at least for now, but the Federal Reserve did signal they could be cut soon. The key short-term rate will stay between 2.25 and 2.5%, where it's been since December. USA Today reports the Fed is prepared to cut rates if the U.S. and China don't reach a trade deal. Cutting rates would mean it would cost less to borrow money, but lower returns when saving money. Remember, President Trump wants the Fed to cut those interest rates, but America's central bank is supposed to make independent decisions based on what's best for the economy in the long run. Reports say Google, which owns YouTube, might move all children's content just to the kids' version of the YouTube app. It's definitely not a done deal, but the Wall Street Journal reports the company is at least thinking about this. And the reason? Well, for one, reports say the FTC is investigating YouTube. Google is accused of collecting data on children under 13 years old without parental consent, which is against the law. While the kids' version, YouTube Kids, does not do that. There's also concern that videos on the main app start playing automatically, which means kids could accidentally come across inappropriate content. But any changes would be a big decision for YouTube. The Journal says children's videos are some of the most popular videos, and they mean millions of dollars in advertising. All right, the 2019 NBA draft is tonight, and a lot of people are talking about Zion Williamson from Duke. CBS Sports says he's one of the most exciting prospects entering the league since LeBron James, and he'll likely be picked first by the New Orleans Pelicans. There are two rounds in the NBA draft, and 60 players will be picked in all. You can watch it all go down on ESPN tonight at 7:30 Eastern Time. By the way, the U.S. women's national soccer team will play in their third World Cup game today. They'll play Sweden at 3 Eastern time, and you can watch it on Fox. All right, we have much more news ahead, but first, a quick break to tell you about this week's sponsor, Ancestry. Would you love to feel more connected to your family's history? Well, you can with Ancestry, and I got to experience it firsthand. I've learned so much more about the people in my family's past, from their names and other family members to where they traveled and even what they did for a living. And Ancestry doesn't just tell you, they show you. I saw maps to help me pinpoint where certain family members lived, and actual travel documents about when a certain great-grandparent came to the U.S. There was even a description of what he looked like, and a picture of the actual ship he was on. You can learn about your family's history, too, with the Ancestry DNA test, paired with a free trial that lets you build a tree so your ancestors become more than just a name. Ancestry has combined DNA results with more than 100 million family trees and billions of records to give you incredible insights. So go to Ancestry.com/newsworthy for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. That's Ancestry.com/newsworthy for 20% off your Ancestry DNA kit. Ancestry.com/newsworthy. Now back to the news. Your smart speaker might one day be able to help you if you're having a heart attack. Bloomberg reports a new type of AI tool is being trained to listen for signs of cardiac arrest, like gasping for air. And if it thinks you're in danger, it will even call 911 for you. Engadget says researchers used 911 sample calls to test this tool and found the system was correct about the type of breathing 97% of the time. But will it really be allowed in your Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant? Probably not for a while. There are privacy concerns, since it would have to be listening pretty much all the time. That said, it could be rolled out as a separate device for seniors or other people at risk of having a heart attack when no one else is around. A new version of the classic game Monopoly is coming. CNET says the new version has a voice-activated top hat in the middle of the board that acts as the banker, and there's no paper money. Otherwise, the basics of the game stay the same. So, for example, if you're buying Boardwalk, you press your player button, then tell the top hat what you're doing. It will then subtract the amount of money from your balance. You can also ask things like, who's winning? Monopoly voice banking, as it's called, will be out next month. It seems Disney really wants its movie Avengers Endgame to become the highest-grossing film of all time. Right now, Gizmodo says the movie is about $50 million behind the movie Avatar, which is currently in that top spot. And so Avengers Endgame will now be re-released, and this time with some new footage to try and lure you back to the theaters. Gizmodo says the movie itself won't change, but after the credits, fans will get to see a deleted scene, a tribute, and some other surprises. The release will reportedly happen a week from Friday on June 28th. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're talking about the long list of candidates in the running for president. We're now exactly 1 week away from the first Democratic presidential primary debate. So what's the impact of so many candidates? Do the debates and the polls really matter? And what key issues can you expect to be part of the conversation? We're getting great insight today from my guest, Jonathan Bernstein. He's a political scientist and columnist for Bloomberg Opinion, covering politics and policy. He's also been featured across other national media and has taught political science at two universities. So here's my conversation with Jonathan Bernstein. Hi, Jonathan. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Nice to be here.
So first, when was the last time we've had this many presidential candidates in really any party's primary?
We've never had this many. If you look back, we really had more like 35 candidates to begin with. We're down to 23 that made, you know, official announcements of candidacies. We've never had quite this many, certainly not in the modern era.
And what's the potential impact, good or bad, on having so many choices?
You know, I don't think it's ultimately in the long run going to make a huge amount of difference. You know, the way that the process works is that the field winnows as it goes along. And it's not clear to me at this point that it really matters that we have an extra sort of dozen one percenters at the long tail. Now, some of them might emerge as serious candidates, but they're most likely going to wash out either, you know, soon or in the fall, or at least after the Iowa caucuses and New Hampshire primaries. So I'm not really sure it matters a whole lot going forward.
We're 1 week away now from the first Democratic primary debate, and a few candidates were left out. Are they basically out because they don't have this opportunity on stage?
It certainly is a negative. What they'll try to do is they'll try to turn a negative into a positive. You know, Governor Bullock is right now trying to go around whining and complaining that he got left out and get perhaps, and it may work, he might wind up getting more publicity out of being left out than he would have being one of 10 on one of the two nights. So we don't yet know exactly how that's going to happen. And one of the big questions is, especially going forward, when in September the number who are going to be admitted into these debates gets smaller, what happens to those who are left out? Do they basically just fade away, or can they find a way to leverage it and help themselves after all?
How much do you think these debates matter?
Typically, they don't select the nominee, especially early debates really don't have major impacts with some exceptions. So, for example, right now, I think what really matters is the one percenters, the two percenters, people like, you know, Cory Booker, who's running around 3%, or Amy Klobuchar, two senators who seem to have sort of on paper credentials to be serious candidates, but haven't been so far. This is an opportunity for them to have a moment that draws attention to them. And I think that there's a number of candidates that are 1-2 percenters right now who could get into the top tier if they manage to sort of break out and draw a lot of attention. So I think that's the main thing that's going to happen or not happen through these debates, not so much the interplay between the current polling leaders.
And speaking of polls, how much do those matter? And how much do those really tell us about who's ultimately going to get the nomination?
They're not totally meaningless. It's better to be in first place in the polls where Joe Biden is than to be at 1% right now. But they're not very good predictors of what eventually happens in the nomination. There's plenty of candidates who led at this point, Rudy Giuliani, for example, who faded out completely. There's sort of a tyranny of polls. When polls come out, it seems very concrete, and that allows the media to talk about it. So, you know, what we've had for the last several months is a real story that the race is between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, who are running 1 and 2 in most of the polls. Now Elizabeth Warren's moved up, so she sometimes is in second place in the polls. But it turns out that that's probably not true. Very, very few Democratic voters at this point know who, say, Julian Castro, the former mayor of San Antonio, is. He's running very poorly in the polls. He's running around 1%. By the time we get to Iowa, if he's still in, he may be well known by to people in Iowa, the people who caucus in Iowa, and could very well do quite a lot better, could wind up in the frontier. I'm not predicting him in particular, but whether it's him or Klobuchar or Booker or Gillibrand or whoever, you know, the fact that those who have strong name recognition now, which is basically just Biden and Bernie, they're going to poll well now, but it doesn't really necessarily mean that they're going to do well going forward.
And let's talk about some of the issues. What are a couple of the key issues for the primary race? And then also looking ahead a bit, when whoever gets the nomination is going up against President Trump, what do you think some of the key issues will be at that point?
Well, that's actually a great question. And going back to exactly what happens in debates, one of the things we're going to see is where do candidates take the questions, which issues they want to talk about, which will eventually break through to Democratic voters. And some of that we just don't know yet, because that's exactly what the nomination process is all about. So that, for example, we have Jay Inslee, who is running on climate, and so far has been a complete bust. He's not even at 1% in the polls. He's presumably going to come out on, I forget if he's on Wednesday or Thursday, and talk about nothing but climate. Is that going to cause some excitement about him? If it does, is that going to mean that the other candidates move to talk more about climate to push him aside? That's how these things tend to work. So if a candidate talks about something and picks up steam, then other candidates converge on that. And we've seen a little of that. We certainly know that they're going to talk about sort of traditional Democratic issues like health care. They're going to talk about, you know, we've had more talk this cycle than usual about housing. We have some issues that are emerging, but to really tell what's going to happen going forward, that's one of the things that the debates are actually very useful for.
Can we even look ahead to whoever goes up against Trump?
It's too soon to tell. I mean, you can be pretty sure that Democrats will try to score some points because of various Trump scandals. But as far as the specifics, well, it's going to be very different whether the economy is growing at 3% or flat. If we really do have a recession, which is at least a possibility, then that becomes the number one issue no matter what. If we wind up in a shooting war with various different places that could happen, that becomes a huge issue. Otherwise, foreign policy winds up, pretty peripheral.
What are Republicans watching for right now?
It's very, very hard to know, this far in advance or at all in advance, even a year from now, which candidates have particular vulnerabilities. There's a fair amount of political science work that, to me at least, suggests that what really matters in a general election when there's an incumbent on the ballot, incumbent president on the ballot, is what people think about the president, not so much what people think about the challenger.
And you can find a link to learn more about our guest and this topic in today's show notes, along with links to all the stories we talked about in this episode. Just check it out at thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and look for today's date. Also, if you love this political stuff and you want to add another short daily show like this one to your playlist, check out the Primary Ride Home podcast. With the first primary debates coming up, it'll keep you posted on news from the campaign trail and ongoing polling data, who's up, who's down, and what issues are getting traction over time. It's great for political junkies, and because it comes out in the evenings, it's a great add-on to this show. Just search your podcast app and subscribe to the Primary Ride Home podcast. That's Primary Ride Home. Thank you so much for listening today. And as always, The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday. So we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.